finished our service on this evening, concluding our day of worship, that everything that we have done would have been pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. I would that you would also keep in prayer. We failed to put this on the list. We learned on yesterday, I believe it was, that Sister Eunice Sorrell, one of our former members who now live in Murfreesboro, those of us here, we remember her, had surgery, and she's recuperating from surgery. Understand she had to have a portion of her lung removed. So please keep Sister Eunice Sorrell in our prayers, that God will bless her to recuperate in a timely manner. All of us who are members of the body of Christ should be glad to be a servant of the Lord. We ought to be motivated for such a task as being his servants. I want to share with you this evening some passages of scripture coming from 1 Timothy chapter 1, some familiar passages where Paul talks about some things that I believe that motivated him for service. And I believe that these same things ought to motivate us to be the best that we can be in the service of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was without a doubt one of Christ's most loyal and dedicated servants. In spite of all the suffering that he went through for the cause of Christ, he remained faithful unto death. You can read about his suffering, the things that he encountered, by virtue of the fact that he was preaching the gospel and doing the work of the ministry and being a servant of Christ. You can read about many things that he suffered in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The verses are 23 through 28. If he had not been a loyal servant and a dedicated servant, I believe perhaps he may would have thrown in the towel. But because he was a dedicated servant of Christ, being motivated by some things that he'll talk about, that he talked about when he wrote to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy. He said in his last letter to his son in the gospel, Timothy, in chapter 4, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And then he went on and said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Nobody would have been able to say that if they had not been a loyal servant of Christ, and if they had not been motivated to be such a servant. So when we look at the things that he wrote to Timothy concerning himself, I believe again that these things would be the motivation for his faithfulness in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, as he talked to Timothy, expressed beyond measure the appreciation that he had for the salvation that he was able to enjoy in Christ Jesus. What about us? Do we really appreciate the salvation that we enjoy in Jesus Christ? When we look at this text in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse number 12, and I'm using the NIV for this particular lesson this afternoon, particularly these texts. Verse number 12, Paul said this to Timothy. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy. The King James says faithful. And the idea of faithfulness that is expressed there is that God considered him trustworthy. He was one that God knew that he could trust in putting him into the ministry. So he says, he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Can God trust you and me tonight? That's a good question that we need to ask ourselves. Can God really trust us to be a dedicated servant in his kingdom? That's what he needs. He needs people that are dedicated, people that he can depend on. Because, again, he has no hands here on earth but our hands. He has no feet here on earth but our feet. He does not have a mouth here on earth but our mouths to speak his word, that is. Can God trust us? Well, Paul says that God counted him, Christ counted him trustworthy. In Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, Luke records this when he talks about, when he is recording a portion of the conversion process of Saul of Tarsus. Verse number 13, Luke said this, the Lord answered, Ananias answered, and he said, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen vessel, or my chosen instrument, to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. God said, the Lord said, this is my man. This is my chosen instrument. Why did he choose Paul for this particular purpose? Because he knew that he could count on Paul. He was trustworthy. That I can send him to the Israel and to the Gentiles, and he will be a faithful servant in my ministry. I tell us again tonight that God wants to trust us. And so Paul, realizing that God trusted him, that the Lord Jesus trusted him, he was so thankful for that. And I believe that motivated him to prove his trustworthiness, to prove that you didn't pick the wrong man, that you picked the right man to do the service that you needed done. You see, Paul, or rather, the Lord knew about the zeal that he had. Paul was a zealous man. Even when he was zealously wrong, he was a zealous man. And I've said this many a time, that if you get someone, you convert a person from denominationalism, if they were a dedicated person in whichever denomination it was, convert them to the truth, they'll be one of the most dedicated people in the church of our Lord. Paul was this kind of fellow. In Acts chapter 22, in verse number 3, when Paul was talking about himself, he says, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. And I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Paul says, I was on fire. None of you who are here that I'm standing before, you were not any more jealous than I was, or zealous rather, than I was. If you were zealous, then you know the zeal that I had. God knew that zeal too. God knew that he would translate that zeal from doing wrong to doing right. And Paul was so thankful for that. Apparently then, God knew that he would work for him in the same manner that he had worked against him once he was converted. And you know what? When he was converted, he, as they said, he hit the ground running. He just started running in a different direction. That's what you and I need to do. We need to be running in the right direction for the Lord and with the Lord. Paul was entrusted with the most precious commodity. And you know what that is? The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is evident then, as he writes here, and as we look at his life through the scriptures, it is evident that he did not want to abuse the trust that God had placed in him. Sometimes, you know, people will abuse trust that is placed in them. We expect that we trust someone to do something, and then they do just the opposite, and we will say, I never thought they would have done that. Paul was not such a person. God would not have the opportunity to say, I never thought that Paul would do such a thing as that. God knew exactly that Paul would work his fingers to the bone in carrying out the mission for him. And so Paul was so thankful. He said to Timothy, I thank the Lord that he counted me trustworthy. And he put me into this ministry. Oh, God wants to trust us this evening. Is that a motivation then for us to be a servant? I believe it is. And then he goes on and he talks about something else that had been shown to him and had been done for him. In verse number 13, he says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown what? Mercy. Because I had acted in ignorance and unbelief. Paul recognized that God did something for him that he was not deserving of. God did that for him, the same thing that he did for us by sending Christ to die on the cross, because of the mercy that God has for mankind. And Paul recognized that it was because of God's mercy that he was in the ministry, that he was a servant. You and I tonight need to realize that it's because of God's mercy that we are members of the body of Christ. If it were not been for the mercy of God, we would not have that opportunity tonight. But because he's a merciful God, and I believe the psalmist talks about him as being plenteous in mercy. He has plenty of mercy. And I'm thankful tonight that he is a merciful God. Justice for Paul, as it was for us, was withheld by God. And God poured out mercy in the life of Paul. He was saved just like we are saved by God's mercy. Look at what the Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Paul, as he wrote to another great preacher by the name of Titus, he says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, and he says, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of what? His mercy. We're saved tonight because of the mercy of God. God didn't turn loose his justice upon us, because all of us deserve to die spiritually. But God withheld that from us, and he gave us his mercy. Paul was motivated, I believe, by the mercy of God. We ought to be motivated to be the best servant that we can be by the mercy of God. We ought to be just as thankful as Paul was for God's mercy. And you know, since God has been so merciful unto us,
We ought to in turn be merciful toward others. No wonder the Bible says in Matthew 5 and verse number 7, blessed or happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We ought to in turn then be a merciful people. Oh yes, I know sometimes people get on our skin, but we ought to be merciful along with patience. Yes, Paul was so thankful that he had been shown mercy. And I believe that motivated him to be the best that he could be. And then he says in verse number 14, he says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Not only did his mercy, God's mercy, motivate him, but I believe God's grace motivated him also. He received something again that he did not deserve. Romans 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we know that Paul was a sinner, just like we all were sinners, as Romans 3 and verse 23 says. And he would say later in these passages that he classified himself as the chief of sinners. So he deserved death. But because of God's grace, God gave him a chance to live spiritually and to be a great servant in his kingdom. And I believe that motivated him. Yes, grace is a gift that God gives us that we do not deserve. And he was willing to give Paul this gift because he didn't want Paul to be lost. He didn't want nobody to be lost. And so he's willing to pour out this gift of grace upon everybody that will receive it. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, perhaps we know it so well. God is not slack, or the Lord is not slack, concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, while not willing that anyone should perish. Isn't that a good God? You know, last week we talked about the goodness of God. God is a good God. He doesn't want anybody to be lost or to perish. And it's all because of his grace and his mercy. Yes, indeed. We today then ought to make sure that we don't waste the grace that God gives us. Paul didn't want that grace that had been poured out on him to be wasted. You know, we can waste God's grace by receiving it in vain. Oh, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We should not waste God's grace. Sometimes people can take God's grace for granted. But Paul didn't take God's grace for granted. He was inspired to write to the Roman church in Romans 6, in verse number 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In essence, don't take God's grace for granted. Realize that it's a gift that you don't deserve. And you ought to be so glad that God was merciful enough to give you this gift of grace that you don't waste it, that you take advantage of the grace of God by obeying the teaching of grace, as Titus 2, verse 11 and 12 talks about. So Paul was so thankful that the Lord counted him trustworthy. He was so thankful that God's mercy was poured out on him abundantly. And I'm sure that motivated him. He was so thankful that God's grace was poured out on him, and that motivated him. But then he talks about the love which was in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, the latter part. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You know why Jesus hung on the cross? It was because of love. The Bible goes back again and says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. And Jesus loved mankind just like the Father. That's why he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know why he said that? Because he loved you and he loved me. He loved Paul and he loved all mankind. And so he says, I'm willing to go to the cross because I love all men. And I don't want anybody to be lost. And so Paul recognized that love. And I believe he was motivated by love of Christ Jesus. And you know what he said to the Corinthians when he wrote that second letter? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, the love of Christ constraineth me, us. I just feel hemmed in, bound in by the love of Christ. When we recognize again how Christ loved us and what he did for us, it ought to motivate us, to be the best that we can be in his service. Who wouldn't want to do all they could for someone who did such a thing as this unselfish act that the Lord did when he hung on the cross? Somebody would give you a kidney, you'd be just motivated to just show all kinds of expression of appreciation toward that person. Somebody would give you a heart or some other thing that you needed that would sustain your life. You'd just be motivated to do all you can for that person. Well, you know what? Jesus gave his life to sustain not our physical lives, but our spiritual lives. We ought to be even more so dedicated and loyal to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by doing all we can for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave his life. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Thank God Jesus died for us. Paul was motivated by the trust God put in him. He was motivated by the mercy God showed him. He was motivated by the grace that God bestowed upon him. He was motivated by the love of Christ. I hope all of those things will motivate us to be the best that we can be. Not in the army of man. You know, that's the slogan that says, be the best you can be or be all that you can be. In the army? Well, we're in the army, but not man's army. We're in the Lord's army. I hope we are motivated to be all that we can be in the army of the Lord. Thank God for how he loved us and what he did for us. Are you motivated to be the best that you can be for the Lord? If you're here then this evening and you have not begun to be a servant of the Lord, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord wants you to be his servant. How do you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. You repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You confess Jesus to be the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And you go down into a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. You'll then be in the Lord's army. Go from that point and strive to be the best that you can be by obeying his will until death. If you need to come, we're begging you to come tonight. You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you've lost your motivation. You've lost that incentive. You lost that get up and go. You become lackadaisical. You are indifferent. I hope and trust tonight that this lesson has helped to put some zeal back into all of us to be the best that we can be in the body of Christ. If you need to come then and confess of an error in way, we'll encourage you to do that. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, while we're standing and while we're singing, we beg you to come.